I need it really quiet in here right now. Before we get into the series, this is what I wanted to share with you before that. And this is going to be this is separate from the series, from this last message on this series. I want to read to you, Rosie gave this to me yesterday. And the Lord said, I want you to read this to the church. This goes right in line with where we are as a nation, as a church. This vision was given to Kenneth Hagin back in 1963, and I want to read it to you. Yea, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and the Spirit of God moved upon me, and the voice of God spoke unto me and said, come up hither, son of man. And I went, as it were, up into the air and stood with him, the head of the church, even the Lord Jesus Christ, in the air. And as I looked down upon the ground, I could see as a map laid out before me the entire nation, all the states of the continental United States. And as I looked, he said, behold, son, and I shall show you which shall come to pass, and that which the eyes of many shall see, and they shall remember that their ears heard that it shall come to pass. For there came a dark hand up out of the ocean from the east, even from the Atlantic Ocean, and it came up out of the sea as a hand, and as it rose up into the air, it became a dark cloud, and it filled the whole atmosphere. Yes, and it swept like a storm at sea. And I said, O Lord, O Lord, O Lord, what's the meaning of this? And he spoke to me and said, son, this is the darkness of atheistic communism that is sweeping across the nation, even in the minds of men in high places and politicians with great power. And this nation shall not grow more strong, and you shall not have more liberty than you have right now. But liberties that you've known and that you've seen shall be seized and taken from you. And I looked again, and I could see upon the mountain a blotch, as though a bottle of ink had been spilled, and spread out over several states in the south and the east. And I looked, and I could see spots splotched all over the map. And I said, Lord, what does this mean? And he said, communistic-inspired hatred among races shall cause greater turmoil than your nation has seen before. Yea, and it is not the will of God, but men's hearts are perverse, and they will walk without the love of God and seek to have their own way. And so it shall be worse than you have seen. And I said, O Lord, O Lord, is there a remedy? Is there a remedy? What shall the answer be? And he said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceived and being deceived. And I said, O Lord, do we have nothing to look forward to in the future except the darkness, the blackness, war, destruction, and evil? And he said, son of man, don't forget your text, for you look at the things not seen. Parentheses, the title of his message was Looking at All Things Unseen. And so then I looked into the spirit realm, and I saw falling upon the mountain a ball of fire from heaven. The closer to earth, the bigger it got. And when it came to earth, it divided into small balls or sparks of fire. And it fell upon men. And I saw an army of men and women rise up. And it seemed as though their hands were fire. And there sat upon their heads a tongue of fire. When I first saw it, it seemed like their whole heads were on fire. But it was tongues of fire leaping. And I said, what does this mean? And he said, before the worst shall come, the day of darkness encompasses, there will be those who shall go and who shall carry the fullness of my truth and the fire, not only to the states of this nation, but to many places. For there is a work that must be done first spiritually before the Lord shall come. Now prepare your hearts, for the time is at hand and the beginning is now, and you shall see and shall know, for the hand of the Lord is upon you, and many of you shall be used in these last days, and the work shall progress hallelujah to Jesus. And I said to him, O Lord, may I have a small place to work? And he said, I shall cause your tent to be enlarged. You shall have an enlarged ministry, and you shall minister to many where you ministered to few. Therefore, go back to the earth and be faithful. Give forth that which I tell you. For you have been reluctant in days gone by to tell it. Now tell it boldly and speak it true. For now is the day, and shall be so. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, 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 praise God. For the word of the Lord came to me saying, the prophetic vision shall be restored to the church. For even in the days of old, under the old covenant, the prophet would see by vision and prophesy, and so the prophetic vision shall be restored unto the church. And this is the time, and this is the hour, and this is the place. Praise God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In the early 1900s, Smith Wigglesworth had a vision very clearly. Those of you that know who Smith Wigglesworth was, right exactly along the same lines. I and others have been sharing with you that this is it. These are those times. It's not going to change. We are here for a purpose and a reason that is a kingdom. It is kingdom. It is kingdom. That's what this is all about. God has made you and I to be here now, and the spark and the fire of revival, I've been pleading, God, bring revival to us. As a number of you have, bring revival to us, to our lives, and to this church. Let that fire burn in us and in this church so that we can light up this area, this city, this state, even this country. Let your presence and your power, your majesty and your glory so consume us that there's nothing left of us. And you are glorified, Jesus, as Lord. You are in the midst of all this darkness and all this tremendous demonic going on all around us, because it's what it is. And light conquers the dark. Let your light and your fire begin here. This has been my prayer. It's walking out the victory by God's grace. That's what this is. With demonstrations of the power of God just waiting to be revealed through you and through me, all of us. I'm asking you with all my heart, please, please seek revival for us now, individually and as a body. Anytime any church pastor says, we're the remnant, we're the only ones, you know, we got it. But in this sense of what I just shared with you, there are a number of remnants. We're part of that. We are. You are. And I can feel the Holy Spirit just speaking and pulling each one right here, right now, up into His presence and glory and power. Will you pray with me? Continue to seek revival. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, in the last days, perilous times, dangerous times will come, and they're here. but the power of God, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, Jesus' Lordship, and His Word overcomes it all. Amen? Last part. Don't be surprised. Don't be amazed at the things that the Lord is speaking to you, because you're going to be hearing things that are out of the box for your life. Make the choice to listen to Him, do what He asks, and keep seeking for revival with me. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, would you turn to Ephesians chapter 6? We're going to dovetail right into the message. Ephesians chapter 6. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Proverbs 4, verse 7 says, wisdom is a principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. For our own benefit, our own personal benefit, it is absolutely vital that we know our God and that we know our enemy. Don't focus too much on the enemy. We don't, and we don't think about it. But we need to know his devices, his tactics, his methods, his scams. Because he's an evil perp, is what he is. It's important to know our God and not be ignorant of the devices of the enemy. We've got to stop the ignorance. And that's why I've been walking through this series. Because we don't know, don't realize, don't want to know. Whatever the reasons are. These dark days, these times, we have to know how he works so we can recognize it. Or to stomp his head. How can we do that if we don't recognize what his work is? I mean, you can see it obviously, overtly, in our government. Man, it's more places than that. But the Lord wants us to understand, to know him first, to know Jesus first, know our God, know our Father, know the Holy Spirit. And know your enemy. Nobody goes into a war without knowing who, what they're fighting, what this is about. Nobody. And we're born again onto a battlefield, amen? I mean, right away, you're there. Somebody wants to take your life. Get wisdom, get understanding. Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be strong in him and all that he is, not strong in you and strong in your flesh. Okay? I'm going to catch right up with where we left off last week. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. We've described the armor of God and what it is, and it's huge, it's big, it's powerful, it's like it's all-encompassing, and we don't really use it. Armor is defensive and aggressive. It's armor that's protective and it's weapons in the Greek. It's both. And we believers don't really, a lot of times, understand what we have. The importance of understanding the grace of God and this grace message that we have is a big chunk of understanding the armor that you've got and how this works. Defensively and aggressively. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Stand intact. Without falling apart. Stand intact. Without being beaten. It doesn't mean you're not going to get a bloody nose or a broken tooth or a fat lip, or it doesn't mean that. Because anybody in a fight gets hurt. Yes. I mean, unless you're like Bruce Lee. For those of you younger, you might not know him, but you're going to get hurt, but you're not going to get defeated. And what the enemy does to hurt us in our stand or attempts to hurt us, we just come back stronger. We come back more experienced. We come back with more understanding. We come back with more fight. We come back with knowing who we are. Everything in us that's God's armor and what's good and understood in this message of His grace, it gets not only reinforced, but it gets strengthened. And we stand even stronger in Him and the power of His might. Next. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes of the devil. Last couple weeks ago, we covered the schemes, the tactics, the devices, the methods, the planning stages, all these things, His intent, all of that, and what they are used to work in and through people. Do you want that list again? Shall I run through it real quick so it's fresh? Yes or no? All right, here you go. Temptation to lure the flesh into ungodliness through thoughts, emotions, and actions. Perversion, twisting of the word of God. It's what the tares and the wheat are for. Division, family, marriages, work, by race, church, courts, schools. Rebellion against God's established authority or godly established authority. Offenses, accusations, unforgiveness, bitterness, hatred, manipulation and control, distortion of the true nature and character of God, promotion of fear and the sense of defeat, promotion of self or the elevation of self, which is pride. Anything that is all about self. Distraction. Exchanging our priorities and saying they're first before the Lord's for us. Intimidation. Mostly by threats. Just threats. Death threats are common now. Through internet, through media. Common. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill your family. I'm coming after you. It's intimidation. Let me give you more. Being trapped in lies. Believers. Believers. Many believers lie all the time. It's a trap. Immorality. I'm talking about believers now. Immorality. Greed. Hate. Again, offense, accusation. Gossip. Rage. Addictions. They're all devices of the enemy, of the demonic, to trap humanity. And believers who have the power against this are not aware of these traps and fall into them. Okay. Those are the tactics. The next thing we covered last week were why believers don't get this. Why do most believers not get this? Why don't we get it? Well, not you. Most believers. So we covered that. It's on last week's. This is all on the YouTube channel too. It's on the podcast and the YouTube channel if you want to see it. Today, we're going to finish this up. But it's important to know how he does what he does. How does he do this? Remember, we're getting wisdom and we're getting understanding. Right? Yes. Okay. So how does he do it? The world is easy. They're empty. Their spirit is dead. They belong to him. They are easily manipulated by any demonic influence at all. Right? We're cognizant of this. Okay. What about believers? Do you think believers are subject to the tactics? Yes. Of course they are. Because the enemy is subtle, he's sneaky, he's a deceiver. That's what he does. But if you don't know you're being deceived, you're not aware of how he does this or what he does and how he employs his devices, you're probably going to fall into the trap. And even if you fall into a trap or traps, you might not recognize it. Well, here's how he does what he does. The first thing he does is into our thoughts, our life, through our eye gates, what we watch or listen to or read or look at or whatever, the seed comes in. And when I say seed, it's just a little thing. It's a little tiny thing. We let it in. This is always our choice. We let it in to our minds and to our hearts. We fall for the tactic is what it is. We actually go, okay. Next, in how he does what he does, we take no action. Zippo. We take zero action. We're just like, okay, there it is. We do nothing about it. Next, in how he does what he does, he gets our agreement with the tactic, the device, the method, and whether it's, you know, in any of those tactics that I listed, he gets our agreement with it. We start saying yes. Next, we remain open to it. We remain open to it. Now it gets really crucial. Because next, it gets more power in our lives, our minds, our hearts. It gets more power. How does it get more power? Because what happens is it's come in, we've not done anything about it, you know, okay, it's there, you know, I feel like getting angry at somebody, you know, and I'm going to stay that way because they're not forgivable. They've done this and this and this to me, whatever it is, okay? Or I'm operating in, let's say, manipulation. And I it's come in and I use it and I utilize it and I'm good at it. And it's in there. I may not see it overtly or recognize it because I'm accustomed to it. I'm used to it. Because it got a place and eventually it got my agreement. And it got value and justification in my life. Do you understand? That's how it gets power to operate. I give it value and justification to operate. It's sin. What's operating in me? I'm using me. It's sin. But I've given it value and justification, which is power. It's authority in my life. And then we apply faith to it. We believe it. And we believe that it's the truth. We've actually exchanged the truth of the Word of God for the lie, this falsehood. We've applied faith, belief to it. At that point, he or it has built a place, a house, a palace, to live and work and empower itself through the person or their actions. It has built a place in our minds, I'm speaking for believers, and our hearts, to work and empower itself through the person. Does this make sense? This is the reality of the demonic. And how he does what he does in us. Now there's freedom from this. And I will tell you that I'm prepared for those of you that know or want to know how to walk in freedom. I'm going to stay after the service. I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to stay after the service and I'm going to show you how to walk free. It's really an understanding of self-deliverance from whatever you might be stuck in. Okay? Luke chapter 11, verses 17 through 23, Jesus spoke about the strong man and the stronger. The strong man builds a place in our lives. The demonic, the devil, is the strong man. This representation. He builds a place in our lives. This is exactly how he works and how he does what he does. This is it. It's revealed. He's exposed. But when Jesus comes, the stronger, he throws him out. He overcomes him, throws him out, and takes the goods, everything that he's withheld from us, and really sets us free, is the bottom line. Jesus is the stronger. Now, he's the one that lives in us, but it's understanding how the devil has trapped so many and walking free of this. Recognizing how he works is vital to us. You got to know God. Know who you are in him. Know who you are in Jesus. Know what you have through your salvation. I mean, know the tools. Know the armor and the weapons. Know the blessing. Know how you're encompassed in him and the power of his might, his strength. But also know your enemy. It's so vital, because most believers are so ignorant. I mean, just totally ignorant. That's the sad thing. The demonic works inside the minds and hearts of and through people. He has no power unless by these means we give it to him. He's got zero power. The only thing he has is what we give him. That's it. His most accomplished work, please hear this, his most accomplished work is in the darkness of the ignorance or the rejection of the knowledge of the truth of the Word of God. Would you like to hear that again? His most accomplished work, the enemy's, is in the darkness of the ignorance or the rejection of the knowledge of the truth of the Word of God in Jesus Christ. All right. Let's go to verse 12. For we, individually and the church, do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. What Paul has done is outline, when we see this stuff, or we're getting the brunt of some of this ugly, nasty, evil, demonic stuff in our own lives, or maybe it's operating in us, and we're going like, how do I get free? Lord, you set me free. How do I walk it out? Paul is outlining our fight is not against flesh and blood. It's not against people. We see people and we think it's people, and I'm mad at, you know, so-and-so, and I'm upset with them, and I'm, how dare they, and how could they, and what happened with them, and, you know, and all these different things, and you go, ugh, with a person. Our battle isn't against flesh and blood. It's not people. We see people, so we automatically pin, judge, make the connection, do the gossip, make the accusations, we start falling to, this is just sin. Can I say it bluntly? And all that does is hurt us. Yeah, we're forgiven. Praise God. But you know, we penalize ourselves. We hurt ourselves. If we don't start to learn to walk in the victory of the freedom that he's given us. This is to equip all of you for these times. That's what I'm trying to do. So we don't fight people. We're not fighting people. That goofy, evil, awful, horrible stuff going on in our government, and that's just the tip of the iceberg, is not people. I mean, people are being manipulated and used. They're little puppets on a string. You have to start looking with some discernment, some spiritual discernment. This is a spiritual battle. But you've got to start looking behind the scenes here and say, well, it's not people. What is going on here, Lord? Holy Spirit, how about revealing this? What exactly is happening? And show you. And reveal to you. Because what's your part in this? Kingdom. Kingdom. It's not about us. We're dead, right? We consider ourselves dead because Jesus is alive in us and our lives are his. We're in him, he's in us, we're dead. We're not fighting people, but a demonic realm. And that's what Paul outlines here. I want to tell you about the demonic realm. I want you to get the real picture of it. All the demonic are limited, Satan and all his little realm. Limited, created beings. Natural liars, accusers of the brethren, deceivers. They all have the serpent nature. Authors of rebellion, promoters of hate, murderers and thieves. They are nothing but pure evil. It is a minor kingdom. A minor kingdom of slaves led by a defeated ruler destined for an eternity in the lake of fire. They always fight dirty. Always. You wonder, oh, God, wow, but fight a little fair. I can see, just come on out and let me see you, you know. They always fight dirty. Always. Always can guarantee it. They always fight dirty. And the enemy tends to always overplay his hand. Always. And when so much happens, it's like, whoa, I got it. I could tell you story after story. So could you, right? They exert their influence on the minds and hearts of people. The whole thing is just to exert all the influence that he can on the minds and hearts of people. Wants a foothold. He wants a place. He's looking for it. Will we let him do what he does in us? This should make us angry. Because all of us have been duped. Every single one of us have been fooled at some time or another, maybe even right now, and fallen for the traps that he's set. Lastly, they deceive believers into fighting on their terms in the flesh rather than the Lord's terms and his power in the spirit with power and strength, truth, deceives into fighting on his terms. Man, it's a trap. Don't have to do that, ever. I don't care how big you are as a person in the natural, or how little or frail or strong or young or old. It doesn't matter. He wants everybody to fight on his terms because he's got you. Don't do that. Don't have to. Ever. Recognize him, it, for what it is. It is just the devil. It is just the devil. That's all. Colossians 2:15, Jesus said, or Paul wrote about what Jesus did on the cross in his resurrection. Having disarmed principalities and powers, Jesus made a public spectacle of all of them, triumphing over them in his resurrection. He's defeated. It's already done. You don't have to mess around a lot. You don't have to. You've got authority, you've got power, you've got the Holy Spirit, you've got, man, if you just pray in tongues, he can't stand it. He can't stand it because the Holy Spirit is praying through you. I mean, just that alone. It's just the devil, and he's already defeated. Already. It's already done. Already finished. Already complete. Verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, that's today, that's these days, and having done all, to stand. Well, what does that really mean? And without going into all the Greek on this, I'm going to give you just the bare bones of what we really have to have. Take his armor, God's armor. This is a reminder, a refresher. And this is what we as a church need to do. Not only teach from the front and teach in classes, but remind each other in a unified front for each other, to help each other. Take his armor. Well, what is it? Get familiar with it. Get familiar with what you got. Most believers, not you, but most believers haven't got a clue. Not a clue what they have. Some of them believe that, oh, listen, all this beat up and being mashed down, well, that's the will of God, you know. God does these things. You know, it's like reading Job in their lives. It's not God. And they have huge recourse. Huge. But they don't know it. You do. You know. That was a good spot for an amen. Take his armor and stand. It means to oppose actively. Actively oppose him. Not just sit with your feet out and your hands behind your head. Oppose him actively. I mean, get on it. In the evil day. And keep standing without wavering. Now here's the hard part. Sometimes we do get beat up. Amen? Sometimes we do. You ever felt like quitting? Can you be honest? I have. Oh, come on. I'm flesh and blood too. I've had a lot of miracles and I know my authority. I know my identity. Come on, I've seen lots and lots and lots of things. I've seen the devil stomped and deliverances happen. I mean, all kinds of stuff. You know, okay, big deal. But have the onslaught sometimes been to the point where I feel like quitting? It's at that point in this scripture that we say, I am not going to quit, and I'm not going to waver, and I'm not going to give up, and I'm going to come back harder. All you do is push me nearer to the Lord and what I have in Him and the victory that He's already given me and who you really are, you slug. And I'm going to continue to stomp your head until you're finished and you're out of here, thrown in a lake of fire. That's it. And you keep coming back without wavering. That's what this means. It's a very strong stand. This is not like, oh, la, la, you know, la-di-da. This is a very strong stand. Paul is saying, come on, folks, you know what I've been through, right? Paul says, we read the history. And he says, out of all these evil things, the Lord's delivered me. And he keeps on going. He keeps on going. Stand. And we help each other stand. Backbone is required in this last scripture. Okay? Backbone is required. Okay. The enemy knows those who belong to him. He knows them. I want you to understand how this works, but spirit recognizes spirit. The demonic recognizes the demonic. I mean, they see each other. You ever, before I walked with the Lord, and there was somebody like me who was just pretty not good. Do you know, in the midst of, and I remember vividly, in the midst of it was a big party. I mean, more of a high-end, high-class kind of party with lots of evil stuff going on. And, you know, somebody well-dressed, you'd think that they were like a politician or, you know, a CEO. And I knew, and they knew, we knew the spirits in us. How'd that happen? We connected and, you know, did bad stuff. How did that happen? It's just an example. Because spirit recognizes spirit. It does. In Acts chapter 19, when there were recorded that the seven sons of Sceva went around exorcising demons. Now, they weren't born again. They were Jewish sons of a Jewish priest. And they're going around and they say, in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. They didn't know Jesus. They weren't born again. He didn't live in them. I mean. And the demon in one man says, well, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? They jumped on him. He tore them up. A supernatural type. But he recognized the emptiness. No spirit in them. Just like, have you ever been together with people and they'll say at a work or something and you just know. You get the sense they're a believer. They love Jesus. They know. So you go up and you say, are you a Christian? Yeah! How did you know? Spirit, it's just an example, okay? Spirit recognizes spirit. Just like the enemy knows those who are his, he knows those who are not his. Just like the Holy Spirit knows those who are his. God knows who are his. The enemy also knows those who believe the word. That's a reality. He knows those who believe the word and those who really don't. He knows those who know who they are in Jesus and who he is in them. And he is afraid. I mean, if he could die, he's scared to death of you and me. It is important to know your God, know who you are in him, who Jesus is in you. It's important. You have been given the power, authority, weapons, and armor, and the truth, all packed into you. Amen?
Amen.
How to walk out the victory. Short and sweet. Romans 8:37. Paul's referring to previous scripture in this. In all these battles, all these things, we, believers, we, full of the Holy Spirit, we, who love the Lord, we, who know who we are in Jesus and He in us, we, warriors, no matter how we feel, what we've done in the past, no matter what, are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. Wow. Wow. So how do you walk out the victory? Get built up in the grace of God and the truth. Get the understanding of your identity in Jesus Christ. You're a new creation. When you get born again, you're a new creation. Get the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Get it. Grab it. Take it. It's the power of God. Know what you have in your salvation, healing and prosperity and deliverance, preservation, protection. What you have in your righteousness, what you have in forgiveness, what you have in God's unconditional love, what you have in your authority, what you have as far as the reality of the truth, to you, for you. Know those things. That's how you walk in the victory. Recognize the enemy tactics for what they are. Don't let your guard down anymore. Don't let your guard down. Actively oppose him with the word of God, living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And do it from now on in your mind, your heart, your mouth, and make your body cooperate. Amen?
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Praise God. Will you stand with me? I have prayed that this makes sense and that this really penetrate, because I know that all the things that we go through and have gone through up to this point have either refined us, or it's caused us to stumble, or it's made us stronger. The will of God is that we become stronger and refined and operate in the fullness of all He is in every area of our lives. We know that we were made to stomp the devil. We know that. We know that he's already defeated. It's the doing. The Lord wants to work powerfully among this body and through each of you. He wants to. I mean, he's just saying, man, you're my kids. Charge! Go get them. Start seeing the victories like you've never seen. Start seeing my power work through your life like you've never seen. Start seeing it. Start seeing it in your life. Expect it, because, man, I'm with you. I love you. Amen?
Amen.
Well, let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, you're such a good dad.
Yes, yes.
Such a good father. Jesus, thank you for being our Savior, our Lord, our King. And Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence, your life, the life of Jesus Christ in us, working in and through, piercing our minds and hearts with the truth. And Lord, even if we get off track, and we end up falling sometimes for these traps that are set. Thank you for waking us up and helping us to take the full measure of what you have given us against the enemy. Let our mindsets be so fixed on the victories that we have and the recognition of this slug enemy that has lined himself so against us. He's not going to win. He's never going to win. Not in our lives. And your kingdom. Your kingdom overcomes all. And the gates of hell will not prevail against you or your kingdom. And we will continue to reach people for you by what we know and what we understand in our God and knowing our enemy and what to do, how to walk through the victory. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God.